यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय श्रीगोपाल 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 जय श्रीगोपाल जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय गुरुदेव 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 गौर प्रेमानंद ओ ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाखय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये पांचकल्प तरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च अतीतानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So today is a very special day because it is just like we have Nandotsav, the day after the appearance of Lord Krishna. Today we also have the even more magnanimous appearance of Lord Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya, followed by Jagannath festival. So, just when we were reading the Sachisudastakam, sometimes the most obvious things, which are so basic every day, but they somehow strike you so, sometimes once in a while, I just realized that though I come from a very pious family, but I had never heard of the name Chaitanya Mahaprabhu till I joined ISKCON. So what to speak of the millions of people who in India who are also pious and who probably have not heard, other than outside Bengal and maybe some few other Gaudiya Math followers, and what to speak of those who did not believe in Lord Krishna, or in the Western country, who never even heard of the name of Lord Krishna. So just a glimpse of, tiny glimpse of what, how much we are grateful to Srila Prabhupada to reveal this whole new world, the real world of the compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaurasundar. So it's, so when the Lord descends, He comes for the purpose, He comes to re-establish religious principles, He also comes with His associates. His eternal associates always come with Him. So, and also when He comes, then as per His desire, His associates come in different places. Now, Lord Krishna, Gaurasundar, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born on the banks of the Ganges, but His associates were spread all over, Radha Desh, Odisha, so many different parts of the eastern part of the country. So one would wonder why that would be, why they didn't really come together. Actually, when a pure devotee takes his appearance, whichever family, whichever land he actually is born to, that gets purified. And not just the family, not just the village, but the entire community and so many followers, a large numbers of people get purified. And that's the Lord's desire too, because especially Gaurachandra, who has come with that purpose, that as many impure, impious families can get attracted to the holy names. So that is why they all spread. But then almost as if by accident, they come together in Navadvip. It's like the analogy of, you know, in the, when I used to see war movies when I was young, because in the World War II, they didn't have those precise planes and they couldn't fly so low. So you had to, you know, from 10,000 feet, they just dropped the parachutes, or the paratroopers had to just, you know, jump off. But then because they jump from such a high level, they spread out very, very far. Often, some of them will land in enemy territory, some of them will land in a, on a tree, some of them will break their leg, you know, this is all over. And then they somehow, then afterwards they group together. So, but if the purpose is one, there's always a mastermind who is really the general, who has really created that thought process. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord, has really, of course, here the purpose is that wherever they go, the kindness and compassion really spreads and brings the illumination in so many different, you know, moribund and dark places, suddenly they light up. So, if you come to Jagannath Mishra, he was also one of these stalwarts of very pious, very magnanimous, charitable, very wonderful devotee. But actually, he's not just a devotee, because he is has the same spiritual qualities as Vasudev and Dashrath Maharaj, Lord Ram's father, Nanda Maharaj. So they, so he's non-different, and he came with the same potency, same qualities. And his wife, Sri Sachi Devi, was also a very, very exemplary devotee. They have to be, because they wouldn't otherwise, how would the Lord come in any other family? Actually, just to show us also how the material world is, they had 8 daughters and none of the 8 daughters lived. So they were very desirous of having a child. So they were doing various worship, various pujas. But it is said that actually the 8 daughters, they represent, Shastra says that they represent the 8 material coverings. They are the 8 egos, the material coverings, which are earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. So these coverings have to be removed, the attachment has to be removed, and that's usually done by Lord Balram, who comes as how Balramji came in the Krishna Leela to pave the way for Krishna to come. And then of course he went to Rohini's womb and took birth there. But here also Vishwarup comes in first, after the 8 material coverings are actually removed. And Vishwarup is making the way for Vishwambar to come, Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya to come later. And it's also described that this birth is not a normal birth. It's not like the way we see the mundane birth of the physical contact of a man and woman, and then the woman gets pregnant. It is actually described very beautifully that this was the year before the Lord was born. He was born in 1486. But so in 1485, in the month of Magh, so he appeared in the heart of Jagannath Mishra, and then from the heart of Jagannath Mishra is transferred to the heart of Sri Sachi Devi. And there was no physical contact. And then one day they discovered that Sri Sachi Devi is expecting, and then she is pregnant. And then suddenly a variety of things started happening. First, they didn't know why they were feeling so happy all the time. This is before they started dawning on them that this child is very special. So this happiness was unbounded and continuous. It was just an overwhelming love. Then Shri Sachidevi also was noticing that Jagannath Mishra got a dream, which actually was like a vision, where he, you know, we explained to Sachi Mata that I don't understand how these divine light which really enters my heart, and then from my heart I see it also entering your heart. So they were getting indications that there is definitely a special being who's going to come. It's not an ordinary being. And then and then Sachi Mata also gets dreams, visions rather, where she feels that she sees in her visions that different celestial beings are actually coming and offering obeisances to her and to the womb, and she doesn't recognize, but of course this is Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, many other exalted demigods who, knowing that the Lord is making an appearance, are actually, you know, coming daily without being seen and paying obeisances and going back. So there were so many signs and sights which made the two glorious couple, Jagannath Mishra and Sachidevi, feel that this is not a normal being. So they were very eagerly waiting, and then that waiting and waiting went on, and beyond the normal 9 months went to 10 months, 11 months, 12 months, 13 months had passed, and now, you know, it was really a cause of anxiety, because this is not this is most abnormal. So they consulted Nilamba Chakravarti, who was one of the greatest astrologers, and not only astrologer, but he was also a seer of the future, of the truth. And he happened to be the father of Sri Sachi Mata. So they consulted him, and when Nilamba Chakravarti, his view was that when he said that this is a very divine being and is waiting for the most auspicious and most supremely ideal time to be born. So that gave them relief. And then finally in 1486, in the month of Falgun, when it was actually a Purnima, full moon day, but also happened to be a lunar eclipse. Now, in those days, lunar eclipse, with such an eclipse, is considered inauspicious. And the only way to counter was to chant the holy names, to chant the name of Hari, and then to have a bath in the Ganges. So because it was a so-called inauspicious day, millions of people were in the Ganges bathing and chanting the names of Lord Hari. So the Lord, and this is also not usual, because in those days the chanting used to be in that environment. Most people would chant the names of demigods and demigoddesses, and for material benefits. So it was very rare that people would chant the name of Lord Krishna, Lord Hari. Lord Hari is one who takes away. So in fact, of Krishna's names also, probably he was last on the batting order. But Lord Hari's names were being spoken in by millions of people. So just at that most auspicious time, the Lord appears. And he actually didn't cry when he was born. He smiled, because he was very happy hearing the names of Lord Hari. So, in spite of Rahu covering the moon, he made things very auspicious. So, now once he was born, when he was taken home, again, not just the blessed couple, the parents, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, but everyone all around, the whole environment, anyone who saw the child was, you know, finding inexplicable joy in seeing this beautiful child. Just overwhelming outpouring of love. So, usually when we see children, other children, we are happy for the parents. But, you know, a small baby is a small baby. You know, generally is wailing and crying, and only the parents and the immediate family would have deep love. The others would be happy for the parents, you know, and happy for the child. But it isn't, you don't get that overwhelming kind of ecstatic feelings. So here everyone who came in contact. So again, they, and the whole house became very transcendental abode, because it was filled with just everybody who was there was feeling so ecstatic. And also here also, Sachimata was seeing that very special beings, some many ladies would come to see, and among those ladies, she saw some extraordinarily beautiful ladies. She'd never seen them before. But she didn't know that these were also demigoddesses who were actually coming to take darshan, just like all the others. Mother Aditi, the mother of all the demigods, she came, she put a hand on the child, she blessed the child. So there was a whole view, a feeling of, you know, just outpouring, continuous outpouring of very great happiness, very deep happiness. And when Nilamba Chakravarti, the grandfather, who had already said that it was the divine being who was waiting for the right time, when he saw the signs, when he saw the astrological chart and the different houses he was studying, the more he studied, the more he delved into the details, the more he was not only getting excited, but he was just completely perplexed. Because he had never seen anything like this. One can imagine, because how often do, I mean, if you say this is only one in the entire yuga that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, what kind of a chart it must be? Just perfection personified. Probably it may not be easy to even understand what it is like, but Nilamba Chakravarti was a very extraordinary devotee. So he started speaking about the ramifications of these different houses, different planets, what interpretations, say that he's an extraordinary child. You know, the qualities are something which are beyond what a king's qualities are. In those days, those very pious, great, extraordinary kings, they would be, you know, considered to be the highest. I mean, and we know from history that from our scriptures, Amrish Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, I mean, the ones who rule the world, Yudhishthir Maharaj, their stars also must have been so powerful, so wonderful. So when he said that this is beyond kings, it is because this child would have the learnings of Brihaspati and the activities which would completely change the face of the world. And in that gathering, there was one Brahmin who was in the disguise of a Brahmin, actually was a very great saint. And he started speaking also about this child. And he directly said, this is actually the incarnation of the Supreme Lord Narayan, and he will deliver the whole world. He will completely, he will establish the essence of all religion. He will initiate a wonderful preaching movement. He will bestow that gift which even Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, all the demigods also crave for. And that is that just by seeing him, people just give up their bad habits. People change. People just give there's a tremendous compassion and love for one another. And then their detachments to material objects would also begin just by being with him. So this will be one of the greatest benedictions to the entire world. He said that even hardcore atheists will also worship him eventually. So all that we see in the story of in the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, we know it was actually predicted by this great personality. And then he started crying of happiness, this saint. And he said, how fortunate you are, Lord Jagannath Mishra, that you are the father of this, of the Supreme Lord. And, you know, he just, he dived down, caught his feet. Jagannath Mishra also was so happy hearing this. He also was falling at the Brahmin's feet. And they were shedding tears of happiness, because we can't perceive what they must be feeling actually. Of course, the Brahmin did not mention about the sannyas that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would, this baby would take later on, because he didn't want to spoil the atmosphere. And, you know, this, the loving emotions of the parents should not be disturbed. So he kept quiet that time. But overall, the jubilation continued hearing this. Then when it came to the name-giving time, so many scholars were there, many great personalities. So the general unanimity was that because after his birth, the various famines and difficult situations started disappearing. People were happy. People were flourishing. Just by his birth, it started happening. So, because they said he is the sustainer of the world, so his name should be Vishwambar. Also because he was born under the neem tree, Sachimata called him Nimai. So that was another name. Because he also was the son of Sachimata, so Jagannath Mishra and the Brahmins said he should be called Sachinandan. So many names were given to him, because he had a golden complexion, so he was called Gauranga. So then for 1 month, as per the tradition, baby Nimai and the mother, parents, family, they stayed in a small hut. It was, you know, just from the hygiene and the cleanliness point of view. So once he came back, then as per the tradition, they offered they put many things in front of the baby, which is usual. Rice, paddy, gold, silver, Srimad Bhagavatam, just to see what the child's inclinations would be when the child grows up. And without a second, baby Nimai just went to the Srimad Bhagavatam and grabbed it and put it to its heart. So everyone was very happy. Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra were, because they were very, very happy, but they were also bewildered, because they had heard, but of course, uppermost for them was their parental affection. Their love was uppermost. So while they mentally heard that, yes, he was Supreme Narayan, and he's a special soul, that they could see also. But overriding all that, just like in Yashoda's case, Sachimata's case also, her biggest emotion was of love and protection for the child. So their parental duty was uppermost. They never thought that, well, because the Supreme Lord, we have to think this way, or we have to treat him in a different way. Yogmaya was so strong, so nicely arranged by the Lord, that actually the overriding emotion was one of parental love. They also noticed that the parents, and they were discussing that every time they were out of happiness, when they would be alone, they would, in the nights, they would whisper and say that this is, they'd exchange information about whatever they saw in the child. They noticed that this child he would just keep crying sometimes and go on and on. But then they realized that only when they started chanting the Lord Hari's name, then suddenly he would stop and smile. So then they repeated again, and they experimented again, and then they tested it, and then they saw that every time, this was a sure that every time he would cry, they would start the kirtan and immediately he would stop crying. So they were also wondering, they were very happy, but also bewildered that what kind of a personality this is. But then the Lord, again, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are, you can say, a carbon copy of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Exactly the same. So, if you didn't know about the fact that he was a special child and he had so many, he's the Lord himself, for a normal parent, it could be beyond exasperation, beyond frustration, beyond difficulties, because baby Nimai went to such extraordinary limits of mischief and creating so many difficulties. But those difficulties were actually a manifestation of
I mean, while the perplexities would increase and sometimes the frustration would be there, but overwhelming, that was only increasing their love for them, from the parents and everyone point of view. You know, he would just scatter everything on the ground. When he was just a couple of months old, and the parents would be surprised that how is it that the pots are broken? Now, how can a 2-month-old baby break pots? So they're wondering, but then nobody else was there. You know, milk and butter, grains would be scattered all over. And then he would throw tantrums, so-called tantrums, if he didn't get anything. And then they would have to start chanting, so then he becomes quiet. So this would be kind of a cycle. He would do all kinds of different incidents. So they thought that maybe this is a, you know, providential, you know, intervention that we have been given this opportunity. And one day Jagannath Mishra asked Vishwambhar to go and get a book. This was when he was now a year and a half old. So when he ran to get the book, and then they heard tinkling bells. So just like someone has put it on the ankle. But he came back and they were hearing it very loud, but there was no ankle bells and there was nobody else in the room. So they were wondering, so they just conjectured that maybe, you know, the Lord must have, you know, it must be coming from our Shaligram Shila. So the Jagannath Mishra told his wife that, you know, you should prepare some very, very special sweet rice, you know, which I can offer to our Lord Damodar Shaligram Shila, because somehow he's creating this, because this child is special, but he's creating this wonderful environment. So this is the Lord's way of how he just increases their love. And he, over all that, he wanted the parental affection to never to subside. So even though they were seeing signs of extraordinary of personality being there, but the overwhelming emotion was always of a parental love. Similarly, when they once entered the house and they saw so many footprints, and then the footprints had various auspicious marks, the small footprints. So again, they were wondering. So there were many incidents like this which kept on occurring, and it was always keeping them very happy, but always very bewildered. And then they would always talk among themselves, and they were very humble. They never discussed with anyone else. One day, when he was a few years old, he was barely walking at that time, and then there was a huge monstrous snake which was there in the courtyard, and only baby Nimai was outside. Everybody else was inside the room. And actually that was Lord Anant Shesh, who had come to take darshan of the Lord, but only the Lord knew that. So he very happily went and caught the tail, and the snake was trying to wriggle away, but it couldn't. He had such a firm grip, even though he was such a small child, that the snake just wrapped in a coil, and it was gigantic in size. So the Lord then sat on right on top of the coils, and he was laughing loudly. Even the laughter was also louder than what a child would laugh. So the parents, everybody inside, they started running, what is happening, why is he laughing, who's laughing, I mean, why is such a... And then they saw what they saw, they practically fainted, because they saw a huge snake, and right on top of his hood, the baby Nimai was sitting there. Now they froze, because they didn't know what to do. If they made a noise, maybe the snake would bite or would strangle, you know, and if they didn't want to make a noise, at the same time they wanted to take the child away. So they were completely frozen. But there was so much consternation between them, among them, that Lord Anand Shesh, in his kindness, he realized that his presence was actually affecting, so he slowly slithered away. But this, so he, his, Lord Chaitanya always kept everyone on their tenterhooks. There was always worries, anxieties at one level. But these worries and anxieties were completely enwrapped in so much of love constantly. The worries would increase the love. The anxieties also would bring the parents and all the others also closer and closer to the baby. Even when the mischief was extended to the other Brahmins and the wives and the neighbors who had deep love for the child, but they also had a lot of frustration and anger boiling over, because it went to extraordinary levels. You know, because like whatever the Brahmins would do, whether they are in the Ganges water, whether they are eating at home, he would contaminate it, he would spoil it, and he would do it repeatedly. So they would have to have bath 15-20 times a day, because they couldn't not go follow their rituals. And then they would come and complain to the Jagannath Mishra, okay, your son is, you have to do something about it. And Jagannath Mishra was always caught in two minds about what can he, because he was anyway, he knew that it was very difficult to control. But he would always apologize to the Brahmin and said that, you know, he's also like your son, and, you know, so please forgive him. And he folded hands, you know. And same, the ladies would come to Sachi Mata that, no, this is too much. You know, he'd come and spoil everything and make so much of disturbances. So when he started growing up, then Jagannath Mishra was feeling that I must actually discipline him, because that is my duty. I have to do something. So he would actually really show anger, and, you know, and baby Nimai would show fear from the father, and he was fearful. Exactly like how Krishna was always running from his mother or father in fear. Then one day a Brahmin came, a traveling Brahmin came to the house. Now this Brahmin was a very learned and also a very devotional personality, who was mostly moving around. He used to stay in jungles or never at one place. He was a traveling mendicant, but who was very also highly qualified devotionally. And he exhibited that those qualities. He was very effulgent because of his purity. So in Jagannath Mishra, as per his hospitality, and actually Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, they were not very well off materially. They had just simple means. But nevertheless, they were, whenever any Brahmins would come, they were always most happy to do their duties very happily. So when this Brahmin came, then Jagannath Mishra welcomed him and did all the procedures for welcoming the Brahmin. And out of his heart, because he could immediately felt attracted also to this noble Brahmin, because he could see, and he had come in the night time. So he said, no, we'll make arrangements for you to cook, and all the ingredients were brought. So, and then it was about 10 o'clock, and then the Brahmin started cooking. So they were all waiting outside. And then when he had finished the preparations, suddenly Nimai somehow he ran in, and he, just before the offerings were going on, he just came and started eating. And it was completely spoilt again. So the Brahmin was so disturbed, you know, and he started loudly saying, alas, alas, my offerings are spoiled. And all the neighbors and the Brahmin, because when the Brahmin came, the parents had also gathered many friends who had come there. So they all rushed in, the parents came in, and they were so upset. And Jagannath Mishra was probably so embarrassed also, so angry. So then he started, he took a stick and he was actually going to run after. Well, he started running, but he wanted to beat the child. And then the Brahmin intervened and said, no, Jagannath, Mishraji, you are such an exalted soul. What does a child know? You know, he cannot discriminate between right and wrong. He's just a small child. So please, it doesn't suit you. You know, you are such a great devotee. You should not beat someone who doesn't understand, doesn't have a sense of discrimination. So then they kind of soothed him. But then he said that actually I am used to, most of the time I eat only fruits and herbs, because I travel in the wilderness, in the forests and all. I rarely get to eat grains, only rarely when I am at someone's house. So it's okay. This is maybe Krishna's arrangement, you know. I'll just give me some fruits and I'll manage. I'll be very happy actually, there'll be no problem. But then the Jagannath Mishra was very, very humbly insistent, but okay, please, you should let, you know, this should be extremely upsetting for the family. You know, you are a special guest, and please, you know, you should. So they this went back and forth, but finally, he allowed himself to be convinced to cook again. So all the ingredients were prepared, and then this time, some of the ladies also commented that we will take Nima into another room and lock him up and make sure that he doesn't come. So then they took him there. So then again he prepared everything elaborately, cleaned all the vessels were clean, kept there, and all the prasad was brought in to be cooked. So then the cooking was done and then the offerings began. It was now almost 12 o'clock. And then just when he was about to, when the offerings were going on and he was saying the prayers, and then when he opened his eyes and he saw, there was Nimai sitting and eating, just he had put his hand inside and he was eating. So the Brahmin could not believe it. Again, he was so upset and he was bewildered also. So he started, you know, again shouting, you know, okay, how did he come in here? Oh, my offerings are spoiled. And then everybody rushed in. And this time Jagannath Mishra was so enraged, he couldn't control him. He said, now I have to, you know, he took the stick and he ran, running after him. And of course, Nimai ran away from there. So then this, you know, the Brahmin, you know, but he was a very, he understood, but they say ultimately it's a child. What can the child do? You know, the child will always play this mischief. So, and he was not adamant that, you know, it's okay, there's no problem, you know, please don't feel bad. I mean, I mostly only eat fruits and herbs, so you just give me some fruits, I'll be happy, you know, that's fine. And they were begging, but he was insistent that, no. But then Vishwaroop came there, and Vishwaroop was, of course, the older son, and he was a very beautiful child, but also his beauty will lay in his, he was just the opposite in many ways of Nimai, very quiet, very peaceful, and that shone through his demeanor. And the Brahmin, when he just saw Vishwaroop also, he was completely awestruck first. And then Vishwaroop spoke very softly, very pleadingly, you know, saying, you know, we understand, but, you know, it will be, you are a very exalted personality. You always spread happiness everywhere. And our family is so demoralized, so unhappy because they can't serve you. So even though what you say is true that, you know, it may be destiny and maybe Krishna's arrangement, but please we would request, you know, one more time because it will make such a big difference to my family. When he spoke those words, then Brahmin's heart melted. He said, okay, for your sake, I'll try one more time. So again, all the arrangements were made. Now it was 1 o'clock or so in the morning. And this time, the Jagannath Mishra didn't trust anyone. So he was not only, there were room people inside the room with Nimai, but also there was bolted and he was sitting outside with a stick to make sure that there's no way that Nimai can come out. And then all the preparations were made and cooking was done and then the offerings began. But the Lord can arrange anything. So with Yoga Nidra as his assistant, his ally, so through that everybody was asleep. So, you know, just like Vasudeva when he took away Krishna and took him to from Mathura. In the same way, Lord Nimai just escaped. Everybody was sleeping, and only the Brahmin was in the room. And same situation, he had cooked everything, his offering, and then here comes the Lord, and the Lord starts eating. And again, the Brahmin got up, and he just couldn't believe, you know, he said, this is impossible, and he could not, but he didn't know what to do. But then the Nimai started speaking. They're saying, you have been calling me, you have been praying, you have been saying, so I'm coming, I'm just fulfilling what you're saying, what you want. The Brahmin, of course, did not understand first because he didn't realize that. But he was shouting and wailing and all, but nobody was hearing because everybody was asleep. And then Nimai displayed his form, his six-handed form. And when the Brahmin saw that, you know, he just fainted with happiness. Again, he came to senses. Again, he fainted. He was overwhelmed. He was just laughing and crying at the same time because, you know, his dreams were being fulfilled. You know, he couldn't even imagine. He was, because his consciousness, his life was always centered around a very godly person, and his entire life was only around Lord Krishna. But then the Nimai told him, he changed back into the his form and said that you should not tell anyone. I forbid you to tell anyone. And he said, you should not reveal this to anybody. And the Brahmin couldn't contain himself. You know, he was feeling that the urge was so strong to tell everyone, because he was feeling so happy. He wanted to share the happiness that the Lord is here in your house, the Lord of this entire creation. But he kept quiet because he remembered Nimai's words. And then, of course, he went away soon after that. So then when it came time for Nimai's formal education to start, so then there was an auspicious time and date, and then the Jagannath Mishra, you know, there was a ritual, so he placed the chalk in his hand, and then to their surprise, he could write all the alphabets straight away. He didn't have to be taught. Within a few days, they were hearing him speak, say all the names of different names of Krishna, Ram, Krishna, Murari, Vasudev. So many names he would recite. So they were again. This is part of their surprise. Being surprised was just their. They just didn't know which was the new pastime that would come. But along with his education, he would also keep throwing those tantrums or throws. Wild ways, you know, he would then just for the smallest thing, he would start making such a big scene, and he would insist that it should happen that way. Like, for instance, the birds are flying, say, I want the bird, I want the bird. Oh, the bird is in the air, how can you get the bird? But no, I want the bird. So, and then he would start hitting the ground and, you know, banging his head on the floor, and then they would start chanting, and then he would quiet him down. But one day he kept on and on for some reason, and he wouldn't get satisfied. And he said, no, I think the occasion was... for some reason he just kept on crying, and he said, then they started Kirtan, but he still wouldn't stop. And he was only still 3-4 years old. And he kept on crying. Then the Lord said, the baby said that, suddenly he just said that, actually, if you want to see me quiet, then you go to this house of Hiranya and Jagadish Pandit, the two Brahmins who are nearby, and they're having a very nice feast which they're cooking. So please get that for me. So coming from a child, it is very unusual. And so precise, names and everything. So they went there, and there, and Hiranya and Jagdish Pandit are actually inseparable friends of Jagannath Mishra, very, very close friends, staying in the neighborhood. But they were completely shocked, because they said, how did the child know? The child is very intelligent. How did he know that today is Ekadashi and that we are preparing this feast? So anyway, they very happily took all the prasad and gave it to took it home, and then he was quite calm. So he would. This was many instances of different his pastimes. But the underlying tone was that at the end of it, it just increased the love of everybody. So even the neighboring men and women, the Brahmins and the ladies, who were very close friends of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, they would visit often, but they used to come to complain. But when they saw Jagannath Mishra get very angry, and when he is really boiling with rage, because they saw that, and then they would only actually hide the child. And then they would tell the child that, no, your father's coming, so you hide. And so it was, at that time they were exhibiting anger, and complaining that you better tell your son, he's getting too wild, you know, you have to train him, you have to discipline him. And then, but then they couldn't, the heart was melted, they would just see his anger, and then they see this innocent child, so then they would only, cover him. And then they would say, no, actually we were just saying for fun, you know, it's not a big thing. The ladies also say, no, we were just, it was nothing. You know? So the parents would get even more confused because on one hand they were complaining, but they were feeling so much love, but they couldn't realize that the others also were feeling this overwhelming love for them. But when Vishwarup grew up and when he took sannyas, at that time, till that time, his Lord Chaitanya's pastimes were very, you can say, restless. He was showing a lot of restlessness and mischief and so on. But the minute he took sannyas, he completely changed, became very quiet, and as if he understood his parents' predicament, because it was a big, big blow to Jagannath Mishra and to Sachimanda, because they loved Vishwarup so much. And even though they were great devotees and even though they understood, but just being separated from Lord Balram, Supreme Personality also was in the house, we can imagine, so they were inconsolable. So Vishwambar was at home, he became very quiet, and he added to that, you know, just to trying to reduce their separation. And he immersed himself in his books, and he was also very brilliant. But Jagannath Mishra was somehow not, he was more morose, even after Vishwambar became quiet and was reading, because his worry was that Vishwarup has left, because he understood the reality, he understood that this material world is only temporary. So the more Vishwambar reads, the more he becomes educated, he will understand the reality and he will also leave. So for that reason he was actually more morose. And then he revealed to his wife Sachimata that actually I think we should stop his education. Better he can remain illiterate, but at least he'll be with us. You know. So Sachimata said, what will he do? If he's illiterate, then who will marry him? And what will he do? How will he maintain himself? So Jagannath Mishra then, as if to speak for all of us, you know, he spoke very beautifully to his wife, saying that, actually explaining that how Lord Krishna is the maintainer of everything. He said, just look at me. I'm supposed to be a scholar, I've read so much, but we have barely insufficient food. And people who cannot even write any alphabets, and they have so many, they've got much, much more money than most of the scholars here. So who's maintaining it? It is not by just, you know, for us the meaning is that, okay, just the academic or the, what our efforts have to be there, but the faith has to be that it's Krishna who maintains in whatever situation we are in. So he strongly explained to her that we should have, you know, he's sustaining everything, sustaining each and every living entity. Why would he not sustain? So we should not have any fear on that. He said, a person may possess sufficient learning, high birth and enormous wealth, but without the mercy of the Lord, he can never be delivered from the misery of material life. So he came to the crux of the whole issue, and through his mouth. And this was just shortly before he was to pass away. So it was also very poignant in that sense that he, of course, was an extraordinary eternal associate of the Lord. But his deliverance of the wisdom through his own life and through his, Krishna spoke through him, that was really a message for all of us. So then Sachimata had to agree, though she was not happy. So then Lord Gauranga was obedient. So he accepted it, but he was very unhappy. So suddenly his restlessness increased even more than before. This quietness went and he was displaying all kinds of restlessness. And now he was much older. So it was also perhaps with more tact and more thought. So it had probably more effect on the frustrations on everyone else. So all the neighbors and all would come and tell the parents, you know, okay, what are you doing? Why are you doing all this? You know, this your son is so, he's such a clever boy. This is cruel. You know, you cannot do this. nowadays they would say this is child abuse, but they didn't use the word, but they also are saying that is very cruel to him. Why are you keeping him? So the pressure was so much that, you know, finally Jagannath Mishra, knowing also Sachi Mata's heart, you know, though she never came out like that, but she said, he then said, okay, since I value all your wisdom and all of you are saying this, therefore the Lord is also telling me this, so okay, we'll let him study again. So immediately then the Lord, because he displayed, and we know his he was brilliant in debates, he excelled in whatever he studied. So he resumed his academic proficiencies also, and then now, just a few days before the Jagannath Mishra's eventual departure, he got a dream which actually made him very, very happy, but also made him extremely fearful simultaneously. And he revealed it to his wife, because his prayer all along, even though he had allowed the Nimai to start studying, his prayer was, every day he would pray that, please Lord, let Nimai stay in with us when he grows up, because he felt that we will not be able to bear the separation from him if he were to leave, as it is Vishwaroop has left. So that was his constant prayer. He never spoke it out, but it was an internal prayer. He said, I will not ask for anything. My only benediction is, let him be a householder, not let him not leave the house. So then he revealed his when his dream came, and he told Sachi Mata that, he said, I saw him with a shaved head, and I saw him on the streets with millions of people following him. I saw them shouting the names of the Lord. I saw many, many people, millions of people following him, surrendering to him. And that made him first very happy and then intensely fearful that suppose the dream comes true. He said, I also saw Nimai sit upon Anand Shesh, and I saw that he placed his feet upon everyone's head, and then when he was sitting in that position, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Sukadev Goswami, so many other exalted personalities came and put their heads under his feet. So all this came to him in his vision, and when they were shouting Jai Sachinandan, he was thinking, would my son become a sannyasi? Would he leave home? And that was what was making him very, very apprehensive. So Sachi Mata tried to reassure and say that, no, it's just a dream, don't worry. You can see Nimai is so much engrossed in his studies, he's very much committed now. So she tried her best to give solace. But after a few days, you know, Jagannath Mishra disappeared from this material world. And as we know, Nimai, just like Lord Ram, though he was so perfect in his philosophy, in his life, and he dutifully followed King Dashrath to fulfill his father's earlier benediction, he went to the forest. But when he came to know in the forest of his father's departure, he wept so bitterly. Also, he displayed his intense love for his father, but also he displayed the greatness of his father. It's the same way here also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wept bitterly for days when after his father passed away. And Sachi Mata, actually, the only, just because of his Nimai's beauty, inner and outer beauty, and the mother's bond, that was the only thing that kept her alive and remain at home. Though later on, as we know, that she had to undergo even greater pain and separation at one level, but which was actually ecstasy of something which we cannot fathom, when eventually Lord Nimai, baby Nimai takes sannyas, and then he takes the next step to really towards his goal of coming here, which is really to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So we end here saying, this is Jagannath Mishra ki jai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. That's right.